Luke 19, verse 41. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept or sobbed over it. And then verse 45. Then he went into the temple. At last he has come to the temple. Drawing near, drawing near, drawing near. Now he's in Jerusalem and he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Once again we pray, O Lord, open our eyes, open the windows of heaven, open our understanding, open the word, that we may behold wondrous things and become transformed into your image. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends, we are discussing the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and 2 weeks we spent on Jesus weeping, 2 days. Today we look at another important factor in the triumphal entry. Jesus orchestrated this triumphal entry or tearful entry into Jerusalem. He commanded the donkey in fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy, of course, in chapter 9, but also the crowd that joined him as they came down the Mount of Olives were from Bethany or Bethphage or Bethphage. They had seen Lazarus being raised from the dead. That was the most notable miracle of all his miracles and signs. And this crowd believed what had happened, saw what had happened, and they cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This was a deliberate act of our Lord Jesus. Yes, he came humbly, but he came as a king to confront the religious establishment, to confront evil, death, sin, Satan. He was on a collision course. He had come with a destiny. And he deliberately allowed this to happen. He was walking into the jaws of death. He knew what was to come, but he knew the ultimate victory. So, brothers and sisters, first point is, let us, like those people who raise their voices, raise our voices and praise the Lord of healthcare. Let the health fields of the world hear this news. Hosanna, the Son of David has come, bringing salvation with him. But then the inevitable happened. The clash occurred. And we can see this. Jesus was on a constant collision course with the religious leaders and the religious establishment and the powers of darkness. He entered into a tremendous conflict. Two kingdoms, light and darkness, clashed as the battle neared its climax. His clash with the temple and the religious establishment is described in Luke 19, verse 45, all the way to Luke chapter 21. Luke had started his gospel in the temple, and now the final drama is unfolding, and he returns to the temple. Malachi's wonderful prophecy was being fulfilled in chapter 3. The messenger, capital M, of the covenant, the of the Lord will come suddenly to his temple. Hallelujah. And he will purify the Levites. But who can stand, endure the day of his coming? When he saw the desecration of the temple, he burned with intense anger and zeal for his father's house and his father's honor. And he drove them out, rebuked them, chased them out, and cleanse the temple, saying, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. It's very interesting. In verse 41, the previous, just before that, Luke says he's weeping, uncontrollable sobbing of compassion. Immediately after that, furious anger, righteous anger. But dear friends, we may call this furious love. It was the love of God, furious love. Outside Lazarus's tomb, he wept. The Greek word for wept there is a few tears, not the uncontrollable sobbing mentioned here. Mary and Martha wept uncontrollably, Mary especially. But there's another Greek word used in outside the tomb of Lazarus, which means he grunted like an animal in anger for what sin had done and brought death. And with that furious love, he said, "Lazarus, come out." Like a mother having that furious love. I once saw a mother. I had read this passage from John 11 about the furious love of God. And I was crossing the, just 10 minutes later, I was crossing at a level crossing in London, where normally people stop, but this driver was careless and he almost knocked down a mother with a little toddler, and she grabbed this little girl and managed to get to the other side. And I went up to her and said, "I just saw an example of furious love," and I told her about Lazarus' story. And she said, "Thank you, thank you. Yes, thank you. God save my child." And so, dear friends, we see here then the weeping with compassion and the anger with furious love are both very much connected, and Luke has put them together. One of the major factors behind this desecration was the god of mammon. For money is one of the most addictive drugs in society. It disfigures us, dehumanizes us, and destroys us. Annas and Caiaphas control more than 50% of the temple money. And we find just before this incident in Luke 18, a rich young ruler came to Christ. Everything seemed just right with this man. Right questions, right. Came to the right person, right attitude, doing the right things. One thing was lacking. Jesus called him to dethrone wealth and enthrone the Son of God. And Luke records, he went away very sorrowful because he was very rich. Note the juxtaposition of these two phrases. Very sorrowful, very rich. Let these words sink into our hearts. He held on to his wealth and became poor forever. How sad, how foolish. Any fools among us? We say with sadness, there are many medical healthcare fools, including us Christian medical fools in the health fields, who are holding on to our money. This morning, in Jesus' name, we pray, be loosed from this idolatrous bondage to mammon and to money, this monster that controls much of healthcare. Dear friends, if there is anything which we find indispensable, which we cannot let go, that one thing, that idol, let us throw it away and follow Jehovah Jesus and enjoy a hilarious spirit of generosity. Not only that, he clashed with the scribes and Pharisees in many verbal duels, never gave in to them, exposed their false traditions and hypocrisy. The evils of this distorted traditional religion were mercilessly exposed. And he is doing the same today. In fact, Luke inserts the story of the widow in this portion. She gave all she had. Out of her deficiency, she cast in all. Jesus deliberately contrasting her with the showy, external, hypocritical religion of the Pharisees, which had no sacrifice in it. This morning, God is speaking to all of us, to our fellowship groups in hospitals. May we warn each other. When Jesus enters our temple, our fellowships, our lives, our ministries, he will search us too. He will shake us. He will strip us. He will dethrone, dismantle, demolish. But he will also delight. And he will bring great joy into our lives. Let us remember that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. This truth is reinforced in the parable in Luke 13, verse 6. The owner wanted to cut down the tree because it had not borne fruit for 3 years. The keeper of the vineyard asked for 1 year of grace to dig, prune, fertilize with a hope of restoration. and this grace was granted. Friends, this is the time of grace. Healthcare fellowships, shall we allow him to deeply cleanse us, get rid of the leaven that is spoiling our fruitfulness, get off our religious treadmill-like existence and activity-oriented ministries, and produce real fruit for the kingdom. Be warned, dear friends, all of us, activity without fruitfulness is not acceptable. We could lose our lampstands of usefulness to God. It will happen if we do not repent. So in conclusion, we say to one another, beloved brothers and sisters, let us prepare for a decade of conflict. The absence of conflict may well be a sign that we have lost our saltiness. God bless you.